Okay, voice memo entry for January 3rd, Friday, 2025, about 5 p.m. I'm in the car, had a latte at Costco a couple of hours ago, and, whatever brain fog or succubus tendrils poking at different parts of my brain, obstructing thought earlier in the day. We'll see if I can't get through a short entry here. I'm going to make a social commentary entry. I don't normally do this. I haven't made much content in several months as my thinking has become, I would call it, almost impaired. In the past, number of months, it's just gotten harder and harder to think. And, there's so much I can say about that, but, let's just jump into this. So one is a few nights ago, had a dream, and I bring this up because this is a running theme in my dreams. I might have had a half dozen of these that I can recall over the last few years. That I am naked, going about my business at school, either teaching kids or walking through classrooms or otherwise carrying out my duties, and I am stark naked. And usually it's like I realize that I'm naked, but I can't do much about it, and I might make some motions toward covering myself up or trying to avoid any glances from students or staff. But this one, I think I'm working with two classrooms and I'm going about my business. And I'm naked, everyone else is clothed. There's no sexual connotations in the dream whatsoever that I could sense. And then it cuts to I'm walking somewhere else on campus, going through hallways, I'm going through, groups of students or teachers. And at some point I realize I need to move faster through this area and try to maybe hold something over my private area or walk or hold myself in such a way as I'm walking that other people don't see my privates. And all I will say, there's probably 100 things someone could come up with, in terms of analysis of this. The second part of the dream, I was a little bit uncomfortable, but there really wasn't much I could do. I didn't have clothes, and so you just go with it, In fact, I think I was a couple of teachers in the office wanted to share something with me or give me some papers, as I'm naked, walking through the hallway, passing the office, and I think I take them and carry on. And no one said, "Wow, you're naked, you better get clothes on." But it was just a sense that I would say revealing more of myself than I should, or that was safe for me. It wasn't making anyone else uncomfortable. I was overly exposed. And I would say that my take on this is that I do wear my heart on my sleeve. I do speak without filtering what I say. For the most part, I'm altogether far more honest and just straightforward than is usually the case in some employment situation.
There's this. Oh, I don't know if this is a good comparison. When I was in college, there was a group called Martha and the Muffins, and there was a song, I think, called Boy Without Filters. or that was a song, a line from a song, but, you know, or The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury, you know, there are people who are just overly exposed. You know, the Martians, they died in proximity to humans because I guess they were psychically active and whatever emotional or psychological damage humans brought with them killed the Martians that were near and that were attuned or and heightened these outbursts or these uncontrolled feelings from humans. And so, you know, it's carnage. When I'm at work, you know, this is back, gosh, I would say in the first 6 years of my employment, especially the first 3 years when I'm working on my master's degree at the University of Hawaii and teaching full-time, I swore to myself that I was dying. I had died 1,000 deaths in this job. Yeah, you know, there's just so much you're putting up with, such a range of personalities, passive aggressive, Napoleon complexes, whatever the heck it is, you know, everything ugly under the sun. And then, you know, which, you know, I'm not a big fan of Nietzsche, but, you know, a lot of what he said was true. And I guess what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. At this point in my life, I feel, you know, too much strain makes you weaker. And, you know, there is definitely that side to it. But, you know, avoidance of pain altogether, avoidance of discomfort leads to, I think, even worse outcomes for society than too much stress and strain. That's just a broad brush statement. But, so yeah, I'm nude at work, emotionally, psychically. I'm overexposed. And most people appreciate it. Yeah, I'd say even though, you know, at an elementary school where it's like I could be one male for like 30 females, some ridiculous ratio like that where you just... you can't help but attract female attention because you're like, you know, one of only like a couple of guys there, and there is over 10 times the number of women on site than there are men. It is what it is. It's a numbers game. But I do think that my honesty and I would call it integrity earn me respect. And you know, even the other guys on campus, the very few that there are, really, they really do like me. That's just because I'm not out to undermine their authority. In fact, at this, I had, you know, moms of my students frequently want me. And, you know, I mean, why not? I'm great with kids, especially special ed kids that are, you know, so hard to deal with on the spectrum, severely intellectually challenged. A lot of strategies and patience and physical strength needed to work with these kids. But, you know, I'm not going to seek to bump some guy out of, you know, the woman already has the father of the child is still in that kid's life. I'm not getting to 100 miles of that mom. You know, you're not going to trade up at the expense of your husband. Forget it. I'm not doing it. Especially in a professional circumstance. You know, my job comes first. I need the money. I need to be able to retire at some point. And, you know, I need this income, these years of service, etc. All right, so Dreaming Naked. That's one. And that's Dreaming Naked While I'm on the Job. Unbelievable. Okay, and then the other, this is different, but social observation. So in 2019, I flipped out, took a Family Medical Leave Act leave from my employer, and flew around the world looking for a psychic respite. And the best I could do was in Perth, Australia, where I found it, the etheric connection, astral connection with this girl was about 1/12 as strong as it was there in Coachella Valley in California. And so I definitely, and it was 1/4 as strong in Hawaii. And so I definitely discovered that there was actually a physical distance component to at least one aspect of the astral dominance that this has become a contest over, and that at this point, since actually the last couple of years, the Holy Spirit has, I think, thrown in the towel for this and allowed this girl much deeper access to me with the intention of scuttling this body, that a decision was made. But I hope to tell the tale that that is not the case, that somehow my idealism and tenacity and fervor will, passion, devotion, etc., will win Grace's forgiveness. But as I've said a number of times, what's happened now, normally for people in the spiritual path or on the spiritual path, it is just you and God or you and the Holy Spirit. It's not complicated at all. But when you become a physical vehicle for the embodiment of the Holy Spirit, and a woman that has been designated by God to be the consort of the God-man, and she has chosen you, and you have upended her once-in-a-lifetime decision of pledging her life to you because you were not ready, and I don't know what else could have transpired as a result of my accepting the Holy Spirit's intervention to finally, have my consciousness reside in my chest that night that I kicked her out in February of 2019. Could that have somehow saved her? I'm pretty darn sure it would have prevented her from re-inhabiting me. But could it have also saved her in some sense? Redeemed her in some sense? Because in no way did I want to deny or limit, to reject that relationship. I had no idea what was required of me. And I had no idea that her force and presence was overwhelming and would undermine my own path, because I had not accepted the Holy Spirit in me in that full descent of Shakti, of Kundalini, of grace into my chest to then ignite my whole body to become that physical vehicle for transcendence, for devotion, for illumination for others, as a devotional catalyst for others. I didn't do it. I never felt safe because of the fucking cell towers. And, oh my God. I don't want to go down that rabbit trail right now. But so anyways, I only have about 5 more minutes here. So I went to Australia. And here's what I want to say. In Australia, I was flabbergasted by what I found to be the weak, low energy, low vibration, lack of zest people in Australia. They were sheep-like. I met a whole bunch of them in the couple of weeks that I was there. And I just attributed it to being a commonwealth of the British royalty and, submerging your consciousness, your self-identification to, the king and queen. And for there being a lack of autonomy, a lack of self-determination, a lack of risk-taking and selfish reward as a result of risk-taking and autonomy in that country relative to what I had been born and raised with here in the United States. There was a different vibration, and just the people were a bore. They just, here you get the highs and the lows in the U.S. You get the extremes, but overall you have a lot more people here who are comparatively, I would say, more conscious, more controversial, more self-directed, and people who just on a deep, deep level see themselves driven by, if not necessarily a higher power, then certainly their own sense of agency. Here we are a bunch of, let's say, spiritual or at least cognitive gunslingers doing our thing. And sure, a lot of people might get it wrong, but you know what? They did it themselves, and that's what we're here to learn about. We're not here to have our agency be squashed or minimized from birth and just have you fit into some, pastel, pleasure palace or, diorama for the benefit of elites. That's not generally what people feel is going on here in this country, in the United States of America. Although we are losing some of that as this tyranny and, technocracy seems to be taking over more so. But, so that just boredom. I was bored, wouldn't want to touch these people. And I had a number of ladies there express interest in me. It's like, wow, I mean, early, mid-20s, working in the travel industry or, at a grocery store or whatever the heck it was, just doing what I did. But they were boring to me. Most of them. All of them. And that's, okay, so there's that. At my school, we have a number of new hires from the Philippines. And you know what? God bless these Philippine people for coming to America to make more money than they're able to make in their home country. And I think they have 3-year work visas. But what I see with these people is they're smaller. I look at their jaw structure, the size of their ears, their sense of, let's say, agency and self-determination. Yeah, they're, I guess, reasonably capable people. And we can't fill these positions. So God bless them for taking these teaching positions at my school. But, I make a comment because I've been following all these expat channels, people moving to, Colombia, Thailand, Philippines, East Europe. I don't know if it's Slovakia or Romania, these other countries where the dollar can purchase 2 or 3 or 4 times more than it can purchase here in the U.S. So if you are a person of limited means or a small pension, it is easier for you to survive here. I mean, you know, survive in that other country. Hang on, I'm going to pause just a second. I just stopped at the post office there. What I got a sense was that the genetics weren't there as far as, I think, healthy foods. I think there's poverty in the Philippines and people are not eating as well as they should. If you know about the book called Pottinger's Cats, they look at multiple generations of cats on different diets. And the ones raised on pasteurized, condensed milk and, some kind of flour kibble or whatever, versus, raw fish or whatever the heck, you have a couple of different diets there. The more inferior diet, the more processed diet, led to a reduction in the size of the oral cavity. So, crowding of teeth, smaller jaw, and behavioral challenges. The mothers, the next generation of mother was more irritable, was less patient, and let's say was a less effective mother in terms of her ability to give the children the complete attention and love or motherly guidance that is required. So when I see small ears, narrow eyes, small mouth, crowded teeth, where it just looks like it's a diminution or whatever, a lessening of human potential as evidenced by the physiologic decay or decline of that, racial line or that, genetic line. And that's the same with this girl. There's a number of, mid, even early 20s girls that work at the school or, come through my life in one way or the other. And, there's this one in particular. Maybe I will end up going out with her, but I definitely see some what I call genetic challenges, but I just don't want to. We'll see if I even, given everything I'm dealing with, psychically and etc., and then this shit show on the web that I have, basically devoted my life to, apparently. Do I want to open up to another person about that when it could become problematic for my career? I don't know. There has to be a high level of integrity and understanding because I would say, my rantings and thoughts would be, all a divorce court judge, would need to you owe this girl $3,000 a month for the next 30 years. You're fucked. Because it would harm my retirement. I feel these Filipinos overall are also, they're not, I would say they're happier, a little bit, they're happier than the Australians, but kind of lightweight. In the sense of, I think, in their own worlds, that they have not had the agency, this sort of cauldron of self-development that is the United States, and that the public school system does everything it can to, I think, squash. You know, maybe that's too far, but I would like to see the curriculum change a great deal in how we, you know, the lack of focus on physical education and the arts. You know, there definitely needs to be a massive change on that. So the social, yeah, nice people, but I find these people to be on a personal level on the weak side. And you know, I look for someone who's strong in their convictions, and you know, I would say capable of an explosive, almost defiant self-determination. Someone who's able to latch on to what they believe is right and just pursue it. You know, that could be ugly sometimes, but you need people to be able to take a leap of faith, which was the awakening of Kundalini for me. You know, you have to just imagine something and go for it. And that takes quite a bit of, I'd call it spiritual balls, self-confidence, and I would say trust that a higher agency is available, but you have to ask for that help. And that's it for now. We're home. Aloha, folks, and Happy New Year. Best of luck to you on your spiritual paths. Aloha.